is a music ministry, a word of encouragement through song. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And the Bible says, and in that waiting, he, the Lord, inclined unto me. Could it be that in my waiting patiently is what moved the Lord to incline his ear? Because to wait patiently invokes faith. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we wait patiently, we're waiting in faith. My faith is being exercised in my waiting patiently, which faith moves God. So sometimes we get in a panic. We want to pull the curtains down and we want to do cartwheels and God, you see, do it now, but we miss it. And in waiting means in expectantly anticipating God to show up. So I'm waiting while I serve. I'm waiting while I'm working. I'm waiting even in my worship. I'm waiting, here you go, through the storm. Not only am I waiting, but I'm waiting patiently. Because after all, when you understand the word waiting and waiting and patiently together, amen, it says to God, I trust you. It says to God, I know you understand what's going on in my life. I know you understand what my family's going through. I know you understand the aches and the pains and the sickness in my body. But I'm going to wait patiently, Lord. I know you understand that financially I'm going through a difficult time right now. But I'm waiting patiently, Lord. I know you know that I'm unemployed or I'm not happy with my current, but I'm going to keep on this job, but I'm waiting patiently, Lord. I'm showing up in faith to this job that I hate, but I'm trusting you and I'm waiting patiently. Not just waiting for waiting's sake, but waiting for someone who is the Lord. So somebody may ask you, what you waiting on? Just say, I'm waiting on the Lord. They say, I don't see anybody. They say, that's okay. In other words, it's not literally they're looking for it, but they see your circumstances are the same. Your situation hasn't changed to them, and maybe to yourself, but I'm waiting for the Lord. But then with all of that, see, sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to slow down and we have to read the word and we have to really ingest it and break it down. And after you read all of that and then you graduate, something happens. Something takes place. There's a miracle. There's a manifestation that happens. And it says, and he. See, the story isn't over. It's just beginning. Because it says, when you wait patiently for the Lord, then you can expect, and he. And who is the he? The Lord of hosts. The Alpha and Omega. The Rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the lifter of my head, my rock, my joy, my peace. And he, see, he's all of those things. He can be all of those things. So when you say, and he inclined unto me, he moved toward me. He focused on me. He came and made his abode with me. He stooped down in heaven. He told all of heaven, shh, I've got a son and I've got a daughter who's waiting in faith. And they're expecting me to show up. And God says, because they've activated their faith in their waiting, he says, I'm not going to disappoint them. And the psalmist says, he inclined, listen, point to yourself, unto me. Think about that a second. Think about that. Let it sink in. And he inclined unto me, the God of the universe, the creator of the cosmos, the creators of the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything. He inclined unto me. That should say something right there. The God of all flesh, the God of all creation, little old me. He inclined. Now this, David was invoking and speaking concerning his relationship with God. But this too, as we read in our Sunday school lessons, is a universal truth that we can grab hold to and say, you know what? God is not a respecter of person. God has no partiality. God has no favoritism. If I meet the conditions that he has set out, he said, I don't care if you're black, white, Latino. I don't care if you're male, female, man, woman, boy, or girl. He said, listen, if you meet the requirement and you learn to operate in this thing called faith, he says, I have to move on your back. It's a law that he set in place. He said, I will. He said, if you have what? Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. What did he say? He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, it's a lot right there just in the first verse. So I waited. Waited expectingly. Waited for his timing. See, when you say I waited patiently, you're saying you're trusting his timing. Because you and I really don't know when he's going to show up, but we know he's going to show up. So if he says, stay right here, then you stay right here. He inclines unto me. And then he says, and heard my cry. It's an awesome thing that we have a God in heaven that understands us, wants to hear from us, that we can go boldly unto the throne of grace in the time of need. Whatever it is, you can go to God with your request. And listen, if we go down to verse 2, with all of that waiting, something else continues to happen. The Psalmist says, he brought me up. He brought me up. Somebody say, he brought me up. Not only did he bring me up, but listen, he said, also out of a horrible pit. Now, if you stick around long enough, if you've been around, amen, some of you have experienced things in your life that you may have considered horrible pits. Number one, the primary pit was the pit of sin. He delivered my soul from Satan's grasp. I was in a hole so deep and full of my iniquity and my sin. But he rescued me. From all of my sin. And then not only that. Whatever trial that you may face. Whatever storm that you may encounter. Some of you, amen, can probably think in your mind and you can go back in time and you can remember some terrible storms, natural storms, hurricanes and serious thunderstorms and all kind of different things you may have encountered in the natural, speaking of earthly storms. But also you can think back of the times that you had storms in your life. Storms in your marriage. Storms with your children. Storms in your own mind. See, I was even saying in Sunday school in a class this morning that there are many things, amen, we don't talk about in church because we just don't talk about those things, you know. But I'm here to let you know that you can go to God with anything. I don't care what it is. And he's able to heal you. So he said he brought me up out of a horrible pit. You think about the life of David. He went through many things. Surrounded by enemies. Even into his own household. But he said he brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. When you think about the miry clay, you think about, amen, your feet is unstable. Sometimes you may say, Lord, I can't get a grip. I can't get a foothold. Every time I try to step, I fall backward. I slip and I slide and I get locked in the mud. I'm trying in my own strength, but I can't get out of this mess. See, it lets us know right there, I don't care how big and bad you are and how tough you are. There are some things, amen, that unless you have the help of God, you can act bad all you want. But there are some things in life, amen, that will bring you to your knees and say, God, I need you. God, I can't get out of this mess. This is a pit. This mud is too deep, too slippery. This slope, every time I try to step out, I keep sliding back. But I trust you, Lord. And then he says in that words of deliverance, he says, with that, he set my feet upon a rock. He lifted me on a firm foundation. When everything around you is unstable, when things around you are uncertain, when things around you are shaking, when things around you are going up and down, you got to say, Lord, establish me. Establish my feet upon the rock. Because I'm here to let you know that there are earthquakes There are landslides. There are floods. There's crevices. There's cracks. There's potholes. There's all sorts of dangers that want to consume you if you step the wrong way. But if I'm standing on the rock, which is Jesus the Christ. And then not only that, not only does he establish me upon a sure foundation. Thank you, Lord. But he establishes my going. He gives me wisdom. He says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So not only does he put me on a foundation, but then he teaches me where to walk. How to avoid the pitfalls and the dangers and the traps of sin. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Anybody ever have an opportunity just to the Lord to minister to you just out of nowhere? He just places a song. You wake up in the morning, you say, where did that song come from? You wake up and your spirit is singing like a bird. You almost think somebody left the radio on. That's the Spirit of God ministering to you. He's encouraging you. Sometimes you wake up and say, I just can't get this song out my heart, out my mind. Holy Spirit is encouraging you, blessing you. He'll give you a song. In other words, he'll put joy on the inside. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? So he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And not only that, but many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know why they shall look in amazement and they shall look in wonderment and they shall look in fear? Amen. Because they know you were the one that were in that pit. They knew that you were the one that was going through hell. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. And sometimes that's why God allows each of us to go through some. Sometimes we think it's about me. Lord, why me? I'm going through this. Oh, it's not fair. God, what did I do to deserve this? Here we go again. No, you're missing the point. God is just using your life. Amen. Amen. He knows you're coming out. But we think it's all about us. No, it's about the man and the woman next door. It's about the co-worker. Amen. It's about your boss. Amen. It's about your family members. When they can see that through all of that hell that you raise up with a praise, when they see when you've been through all of that sickness in your body and you come to church and you might not even be fully strong and they see you lifting your hand and you can barely stand, they say, wow, what is it about this God? What is about this God? I saw that person when they were at their lowest. I saw this person when they lost everything. I saw that person when their marriage fell. I saw this person when their kids went on drugs. I saw this person when they lost their job. I saw this person when they got sick. I saw this person when they went through all of that. But then I look at them and I see them standing upright, speaking words of faith, singing songs of worship. Who is the Lord? Strong and mighty. Mighty is he in all of his ways. He allows things to happen in your life to further glorify and magnify him. So when you go through, take it patiently. Wait on him. Because God has got a season and a timing for everything in your life. You may be preaching. Matter of fact, you are preaching and you don't even know it. Some people say, I got to get behind the pulpit. No, your life is a living sermon.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You are preaching. You are prophesying. You are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it works in your life, and when they see the hand of God in your life, and when they see the power of God demonstrated even through your afflictions, oh, you're preaching a sermon. You don't even know it. And they stop and they wonder. And they're in amazement at the power of your God. And they may not say anything, and some may, but they're watching. And they're looking. And guess what? And God will use that to deal with their hearts, to prick their hearts, to convict them of sin. They complain about every little thing. That's why the Bible says, listen, we ought not be complainers and moaners and all that stuff. Listen, because the greater one is inside of us. That's what the world does. They complain and they find fault and they look for reasons to complain. But we are children of faith. And God has called us. Even if you think about Paul, he says, in everything I've learned how to be content, whether in abundance or in lack, I've learned to trust God. The measure of a man or woman is not based on what they possess or what they own. See, that's the world's theology. How successful you are, how many cars do you have? How many degrees do you have? Oh, you're a success. We brand you. We applaud you. Yeah, that's all right, but it's temporary. It's fleeting. And without God, you're going to perish and go to hell. But measure me not by what I own. Measure me not by what I drive. Measure me not by what I wear. Measure me by my faith in Jesus Christ. Because a true man or woman knows that all of those things perish. All of those things are temporary. All of those things are for a fleeting moment in time. But what does the Bible say? Only what you do for Christ will last. What profiteth a man to gain the whole world? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? We sing a song, I'd rather have Jesus more than silver and in gold. Don't you understand the earnest deposit of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you? The gift of eternal life is more precious than any gem, any jewel, any silver, any gold, any Lexus, any Benz. The gift of eternal life, the Spirit of God, the gift of salvation is more valuable than any of the all of the riches of the earth combined. Cannot even begin to purchase what was purchased on Calvary's cross for our sin. Blessed is the man, verse 4 says, that maketh the Lord his trust. Happy is the man. You want to find true happiness? Now, God may bless you with things, amen, but it's got to be the order. First, God. See, people look for happiness in the stuff. No, don't put your happiness in the stuff, because when something happens to your stuff, you're going to lose your mind. But put your trust and happiness in God. So whether the stuff is there or not, it's not going to change who you are in Christ. And your happiness isn't based on material blessings. My happiness is based on my love and my relationship and communion with Jesus Christ. So if everything burns down, I can still say God is good. they come back and repossess my cars, I can say, God is good. The same God that blessed me is the same God that can bless me again. Maybe he's just clearing it out so God can put something new in his place. See, we want to fight and hold on. Who am I talking to? We want to fight and hold on to that old stuff. This is my stuff. No, you don't realize God is maybe trying to bless you, and the only way he can get that old stuff out of your hand is he's got to allow it to be taken so he can take you to a new level and a new revelation and a new order. But God said, you're holding on to the old stuff. God said, let it go. And as long as you hold on to me, you already have everything you need. And it will please the Lord. And he may bless you above what you could have even imagined. And that's how God works. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That shows you something about our God. See, we'll think, oh God, if I just had $1 million. Lord, if, you know, and sometimes we equate that because we think we can kind of work that out a little bit. If I put this stock here and that. And that's all good. We got a plan. We got to, you know, and that's great. But God says, okay, you do your planning. But watch this. God said, I'll take that little seed that you gave to me. And God said, watch me multiply it. Watch me. I hope somebody's catching this. Take that little business you're about to start. And next thing you know, you'll have 10 employees working for you. Watch me. See, you wasn't thinking like that. You said, Lord, if I could just have this, I could just make it enough just to pay my mortgage and pay for my car note and give me some extra. Lord, I'll be happy. God said, why? You don't understand. God said, I know that your heart is right. I know that you're not in this for the fishes and the loaves. God said, I want to bless you above and beyond. Number one, he says, I can trust you. He said, now here's the thing. Some people say, well, Lord, why don't I get that? It's not that God can't bless us, but sometimes it's a matter of, do we have the character or the integrity, or do we have the faithfulness of spirit that if God was to bless us, can you be faithful or a wise steward over what God puts in your hand? And many times, it's not that God doesn't want to bless us. Amen. God is saying, you're not ready. Amen. You don't understand the basic principles of stewardship. Amen. So if I give this to you now, it's just going to cause you to shipwreck. That's why you've got to put God first. Amen. And have a relationship with him. Build on that. Amen. They say, what? When people get money, they change. You know, that you change. Ever since you got that money, you change. No, I believe that money, just whatever was in you, it just makes more of what's in you come out. If you were a giver before you got the money, amen, you're going to be a giver after you get the money. If you're selfish and stingy and you don't want to help people, amen, when you get more money, it's just going to magnify. They said, you changed. No, they was always like that. You just didn't see it because it was on a small scale. But what's in their heart? But if you like helping people, amen, you're just going to be more of that. I'm talking about those who are in Christ. Now, in the world, they're going to go crazy anyway. Amen. That's automatic. Blessed is the man. Happy. You're at peace. You're at a place that you can learn to relax in Christ. Is the man that maketh the Lord, somebody say the Lord his trust. Not the jobs, not the money, not the position, not the title, not your status, but maketh the Lord, capital O-L-O-R-D, his trust. Many of us, we call Jesus our Savior, but look to your neighbor and ask, is he your Lord? Oh, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. But is he your Lord? Oh, I'm saved. But is he your Lord? I'm not saying that they're not saved, amen, but it's a difference. When he's your Lord, any and everything about you, amen, you bring under his lordship. Amen. Your gift, your talent, everything about you, your money, everything about you, you surrender to his lordship. And say, God, I lay it at your feet. But when he's not your Lord, you love Jesus. But I got to do what I got to do. No, you're not ready. You're not ready for him to take you to that next realm of manifestation and blessing. You can prophesy on it all you want. You can lay hands on it all you want. You can anoint it all you want. But unless a man's ways please the Lord. We got folk living any kind of way. And they want to invoke blessing on their life. You got it wrong. Scripture said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that also shall he reap. If you sow into the Spirit, if you sow into kingdom principles, if you sow into the work of the Lord, if you sow into righteousness, if you sow into holiness, if you sow into all the good things, then guess what? They shall come back overflowing. There are principles. It's not difficult. Many, verse 5 says, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works many, O Lord, my God. Hallelujah. You see that? See, when you have a relationship, you can talk like that. He says, many, O Lord, my Savior. And he says, and my God. See, I can call him my God. He is my God, my Savior. He said, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. To wait patiently on the Lord. I'm about done. In Isaiah 40:31. The scripture says, but they that wait, Think about it. Not everybody's waiting. But those who hear, those who obey, those who choose to follow his instructions, but they that wait. So what does that mean? There are some who choose not to wait on God. There are some that choose to do their own. But those who choose to be obedient to God's plan, he said, shall renew their strength. So how does something have to be renewed unless you got weak? There are times, as I said, in life, amen, you may be discouraged. You may need to be strengthened. And God understands that. And he's more than willing and able to heal you and to strengthen you. And he says, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They will not give up. Habakkuk 2 and 3. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Whatever the vision is that God has given you, trust him. Wait patiently for the Lord. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everything has a timing and everything has a season. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, what does that word say? Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So the blessings of God addeth no sorrow. If God says stay right here, if God has spoken, if God has ordered your steps, and if God said be faithful, wait patiently, then you've got to realize that if God said it, it shall come to pass. Look to your neighbor and say, I will wait. For it can only come to pass. For in an appointed time, it shall speak. Thank you, Holy Ghost. When God has a blessing over your life, when God has spoken into your life, when God, think about this, when God created everything on this earth, every living thing, every tree, every seed bearing fruit, all of those things have within it, amen, that DNA, that genetic code, amen, even though it's in its seed form, but once you plant it in the ground, it can only produce what's already been put in it. So when God has, through his Spirit, spoken into your life, he has poured into your Holy Ghost DNA. And even though you don't see the manifestation, even though you have no sight of it, but you've got to rest assured that the seed is on the inside. Amen. And because the seed is on the inside, it's just a matter of time. Because you're in Christ, because you're in God, because you're walking by faith and not by sight, you have planted it in the soil of your heart. And as long as you wait patiently, it's being fertilized, it's getting nutrients, it's getting water of the word, and it's just a matter of time that that seed is going to break open and it shall speak. And it's going to produce after its kind. Many of us don't realize the talents and the giftings that's inside of us. See, we're looking at it through the eyes of one seed. But God doesn't look at it as one seed. We see one apple seed. He said, oh, that's nice. That's an apple seed, man. If I could just get an apple seed. God said, no, what are you talking about? God said, I just don't see an apple seed. I see an orchard. I just don't see one plant. I see acres upon acres upon acres. And follow me. I'm not a botanist. I don't, a horticulturist. I'm not. But common sense says to me that one seed, within that one seed, there's a principle of endless reproduction. That if I could get that one seed in the ground, within that one seed, there is enough apples to be planted in every square inch around this planet. Because think about it. It will only produce after its own kind. So the principle will continue to repeat. Manifestation will continue to take place because it can only reproduce after its kind. So if I'm operating in the principles of God, if I'm operating through the principles of faith, if I'm operating through the principles of sowing and reaping, and that's just not money, but it's including money, it's including a whole sphere of things. When I'm operating in these principal truths, amen, there can't help but be manifestation that takes place after its kind. When we learn those breakthrough keys. Now, I'm not a money preacher. Y'all know that. But I got to use this illustration. That $1 in your pocket. God is saying, listen, as long as it's not your God. God said, listen, money is nothing but a tool. It's put here amen, for you to exchange and to interact, to purchase, to trade, to barter at this earth realm. There's nothing wrong with money. Money itself is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. But God, I believe in my heart, wants to trust you. Wants to be able to me, Gates doesn't have to be, Trump's doesn't have to be all the ones that have the money. Listen, God can trust you. I know he can trust you. Look to your neighbor and say, God can trust you. See, some of y'all not even flowing with me. See, even right now, you don't know who in this room. See, you would never think in your heart that anybody in this room could be super wealthy. But I'm going to tell you, see, how God can blow your mind. You don't know who's in this room. And I'm looking at you, but I'm talking to myself too. And I got to remove the blinders and the doubt that I might even think. Do you think it's a hard thing for God to bless you? And it's just not money for money's sake. It's bigger than that. I like to use the word sometimes resource. That you can be a blessing not only to your own life, because there's nothing wrong with you being blessed, but blessing others. Blessing the kingdom. Blessing the work of God. I'm about done. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. So he speaks to our hearts. In the scripture, he says, the writer says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are perishing or wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions or troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For that reason, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Whatever your affliction, whatever your trial, whatever your test, think about what Christ endured. Think about the torment, the punishment, the apostles of old. All of those things that they suffered for preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. If I can just be bold enough to say this, we got a lot of preachers today, amen. We're preaching from pulpits of comfort. And it's not a contradictory to God wanting to bless you. But what I'm saying is this. We don't want to speak the truth of the word of God. Because unlike those of old, when they spoke, it cost them. Prison sentences. It cost them to be whipped, to be stoned. It cost them to be crucified upside down. It cost them to be headed, to be beheaded. It cost them, boiled in oil. Cost them. They were ripped apart by lions. It cost them. But they didn't waver in the message. So can God trust us not to compromise? In conclusion, these are the ones that God can trust, those who will not compromise. Because you understand, this world is temporary. You understand that money's not your God. You understand that material things are fleeting. Again, only what you do for Christ will last. Everyone standing. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Whatever it is, men and women of faith, continue to wait on God. No matter what it looks like. Hallelujah. No matter what it looks like in the natural. You've got to say by faith, I believe God. That he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Now, what we ought to be praying, amen, is that God give us wisdom.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it amazing?
Hallelujah.
That every invention, every computer, every building, every single thing, this microphone I'm speaking through, those chairs that you're sitting on, the carpet that you're standing on, the clothes that you're wearing, the jewelry, the watches, the earrings, everything was once an idea. Before it ever came into existence, it was in the mind of a man or a woman. And I don't know about you, but I see some very intelligent people in this room. I see godly men and women that God has gifted at various levels. Gifted in your hands, gifted through your voice, gifted through organization, gifted in so many ways. Don't limit yourself. Believe God. If you got an invention, don't dismiss it. If God shows you something, maybe God is showing you. Maybe many of y'all would be wealthier over again if you had just followed the thought. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You thought of stuff before it even came on the market. The key was, how do you get to the market? Because you need money, they say. But I'm here to let you know, where there's a will, there is a way. If you research, if you study, you say, I don't have the money. Get five people you trust and say, I need you to invest. Why am I talking about this stuff today? I have no idea. It's for somebody. I need five people that are willing to invest. And those are the five people that constitute your board and will be your principal agents in bringing that thing to pass. And when the increase comes, you all will be partakers. And if it should be a loss, it won't be as hard because it's buffered through the numbers. God wants to bless our hands. The wealth of the wicked, the Bible says, is laid up for the just. But guess what? You better go get it. It's there. Go get it. You got a business? Get busy. You draw? Get busy. Giving you hands? You're a cosmetologist? Get busy. You're an engineer? You're a mechanic? You write music? Get busy. God has given you insight to investment, get busy. You got people, and Lord, I better be quiet. You got people that will fill a room like this and listen to one person give them instructions and how to make money. And what's crazy about it is that person that's given the instruction, all he got to do is get y'all to come in. Now, I'm not saying it's a fraud, but maybe he has legitimate. But my point is this. They're charging people $50, $100, $150 to come sit in here. Especially when it's proven that you could do stuff and you've done stuff, they will listen. There's all sorts of money out here. And I'm just trying to say, listen, we don't have to be broke. Amen. I just saw some of you have the wit to write greeting cards. I just saw that. You write them good enough, you can go in a contract with e-greeting or some of these other cards out there. Just from words that you wrote on a paper for a Mother's Day card. Father, I thank you. God, we pray, God, that you would speak to your people. God, we know that you care about us spiritually.
Hallelujah.
We know, God, you care about us physically, emotionally, mentally. You're concerned about the whole man. You placed us here with these gifts, these abilities, these talents. You've put within us a mind to think, to reason. You told us to subdue, to have dominion, to exercise authority over the earth. And I'm here to let you know, church, when he gave Adam that command and Eve to subdue, meant to utilize the earth's resources, take control, govern and manage, have authority over the earth and in the earth. If there's anyone here, firstly, if you're not saved, the altar's open. And this also I want to say, if you dare to believe God with me, I want you to come to this altar. If you want God to do something miraculous in your life,